I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up this week, we'll look ahead to one of the most magical weekends in the English sporting calendar as the third round of the FA Cup gets underway. We'll be catching up with some star names, including Kevin Keegan and John Barnes, to get their thoughts on the weekend's ties. We'll look back on the first half of the Premiership rugby season with our rugby guru Russell Hargreaves. And we'll also hear from the England cricket captain Alistair Cook ahead of next week's first one day against India. And we'll hear from England cricket captain Alistair Cook ahead of next week's first one-dayer against India. Well, the big boys enter the FA Cup fray this weekend as the competition reaches round three. Our roving reporter Lee Peters has been a busy boy. He's been catching up with four football superstars who've all won the competition.
Oh yes, thank you very much for that, Kevin. I did speak with four former FA Cup winners who've won the competition eight times between them. They're part of the ESPN team who have live and exclusive coverage of three FA Cup third round fixtures this weekend: Swansea versus Arsenal, Mansfield versus Liverpool, and Cheltenham versus Everton. First, I caught up with ex-Chelsea player Frank Leboeuf, who won the competition in 1997 and 2000. Don't forget that Frank also won the 1998 World Cup, and this is what he had to say about the FA Cup.
It's hard for me to decide whether winning in the World Cup and winning in 97 the FA Cup, which one is the most important for me. I remember, you know, watching the FA Cup in France. It's one of the biggest competition in the world.
Well, next I spoke to John Barnes, who of course won the FA Cup twice with that really dominant Liverpool team in the late 80s, early 90s, and he believes that the third round of the FA Cup is still a massive occasion.
From a single occasion, it's probably the most important day of the calendar, and it's now taking on that importance once again. Every team has an opportunity to win the FA Cup, has taken on added significance, so the third round, the quarterfinals and the finals are the three big FA Cup days for me. Third round because, of course, you look at Mansfield versus Liverpool and Cheltenham versus Everton, there's always a chance of an upset. Quarterfinals because, you know, you can see Wembley coming up, and of course the final, but third round has always been special.
Martin Keown's won the FA Cup no fewer than three times, of course, in that Arsenal team of the late 90s and first part of the noughties, and he says that anything can happen on third round day.
You need to relish it, embrace it. It is a carnival kind of atmosphere, there's no doubt about that. You'll see over this weekend, you'll see the giant killers. You always get this, you know, very cold weather conditions. You get that fatigue from the Premiership players going to a difficult environments, and you get these major upsets. It happens every year, and if you're a foreign player coming into it for the first time, don't be surprised, because you know these guys, they play at a lower level. They do that because there's a lack of consistency in their play, not necessarily a lack of ability, and they'll raise it for that one occasion, and then you know before you know where you are, you're out the cup.
And finally, I spoke to Kevin Keegan, a man who has a vast knowledge of the FA Cup, both as a player and as a manager. And Keegan, of course, won it with Liverpool in that 1974 final. Also lost it as a player in 1977 when Liverpool were defeated 2-1 by Manchester United. And Keegan believes the third round of the FA Cup is still the most exciting day of the footballing calendar.
It's a massive day for the smaller clubs, especially the smaller clubs who've managed to get a home tie. You know, an excitement, a buzz in the town. Lots of good ties in this third round. And the FA Cup, after a few years ago thinking that clubs were undervaluing it and sort of not respecting it, it's got their maximum respect now. Teams aren't being put out with loads of kids in it and players rested. Teams are really going for it because they realise that it's a major trophy. It's got a lot of its prestiges back now from, because in the 50s and 60s, it was, certainly when I was in the 70s, it was the competition we looked forward to most.
Well, for more details on ESPN's FA Cup third round coverage, visit espn.co.uk/TV.
Well, Russell Hargreaves joins me now. Russ, let's have a look ahead to some of the more intriguing ties in the third round. We'll start with a game at Upton Park, West Ham against the Premier League leaders Manchester United. United, you would think, would be favourites, but obviously You know, it's going to be an evening game at Upton Park. The atmosphere will be amazing. West Ham, we think, will have Joe Cole in their ranks, so that'll be a boost for them. So, upset possibly on the cards?
You never know, do you, Kev? And I suppose United, first of all, you've just got to look at their magnificent form up front at the moment. Van Persie continues to score goals for fun. And as Wayne Rooney remains a little bit quiet this season, Javier Hernandez seems to have really hit his strides again in recent weeks, both scoring two goals apiece last time out against Wigan. You just feel that with West Ham, if they can hold together at the back, maybe there's a chance of doing it. I think they've got to try and keep those front men quiet. And yet, with Joe Cole potentially there, Schmack as well, maybe coming on loan from Arsenal. We don't know if that one will go through in time. We think perhaps not. Should be a good game. And fingers crossed, it'll be an entertaining one. The evening atmosphere will be great at Upton Park, as you rightly mentioned. The Hammers with nothing really to lose. It's a cup game. They're historically very good in this competition. They've got some good creative players who I'm sure will go hell for leather at the Manchester United defence that has been fairly porous in recent times. So on paper, at least, everything is set for a very, very good match.
Aston Villa managed to stop the rot in the Premier League as they got a 2-2 draw at Swansea, but obviously they had a pretty horrendous festive period up until then. They're at home to Ipswich Town, who were struggling for much of the season, but under their new manager Mick McCarthy, they've picked up. They've escaped the Championship relegation zone, lost 3-0 to Brighton, I think, last time out. But this potentially, for a young Villa side, is a banana skin, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Of course, they had that dreadful run, Kev, where they conceded 15 goals and scored none in three matches. At least got that draw against Swansea. But again, by all intents and purposes, they were up in until the 94th minute till Danny Graham equalised. So that's clearly still going to hurt and rankle coming into this one. It is a home tie. But Ipswich, as you say, have picked up things a little bit under Mick McCarthy. A sticky start when he took over a team that were in dire, dire trouble at the time. He's got them up to 19th in the table. So a couple of places outside the relegation zone, which is no mean achievement in itself. A bit patchy recently. They had a three-game unbeaten run before losing 3-0 to Brighton at the weekend. For me, I just feel at home Villa might use this match to perhaps get themselves back on track to some degree and get the victory. For me, Kev, another of the games I'm looking forward to is Crawley, who are eighth in League One, up against Reading, whose Premier League form, as we know, has been pretty disappointing generally. Crawley have, what, had three wins out of their last five, beat Colchester last time out. It could be a pretty interesting one, this, and probably one of those where an upset is most likely.
Yeah, Reading really struggling at the moment, desperate for confidence, although did get that recent win against West Ham. Just one final one that I want to focus on, Russ, before we switch our attention to rugby. Arsenal away to Swansea. Swansea obviously recently got that 2-0 win at the Emirates when Michu scored twice. Swansea generally strong at home. They recently held Manchester United to a draw. This is a tricky one for Arsenal, but they're scoring plenty of goals, and Theo Walcott in particularly good form.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I just wonder how seriously Swansea are going to take the FA Cup this year, because, you know, the Premier League is still their bread and butter, and they'll be very pleased to be right up there in upper mid-table. I think they've done extremely well under Laudrup this year. For Arsenal, who knows really which Arsenal is going to turn up? Is it going to be the one that frustrates and can't get the ball in the net? The fans start to turn, the players start to look at themselves and shake their heads? Or is it going to be the one where it all clicks beautifully and the likes of Cazorla and Arteta pull the strings in midfield? The attacking three all gel, the pace out on the wings with the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott and a straight man down the middle. My gut reaction is Arsenal might get some revenge for that defeat in the league and possibly win this one. And again, a bit like the West Ham-Manchester United one, a tight all-Premier League clash, tough to call with the perceived bigger team away from home. I think it could be another really, really exciting game. What do you think for the results?
Yeah, I think this one's a tight one. I think you're right. I just have a sneaking suspicion that Arsenal might come out on top.
I agree.
I think Swansea have been playing well. But sometimes against stronger teams in the division, they struggle. They were outplayed against Liverpool in a goalless draw at the Liberty earlier in the season. Manchester United felt they should have been, you know, two or three up against them before Swansea managed to get a goal in that game. I just have a feeling Arsenal might have a bit too much on the break for them, and I think they might just sneak it. Well, let's switch our attention then to Premiership Rugby. And Russ has been following this as closely as anyone so
Indeed.
Far this season. Let's start with the top of the table and title contenders for you. Obviously, we have to wait until the playoffs to know who eventually wins it overall. But who do you think looked like the contenders early on?
Funnily enough, Kev, it's very similar to last year. The same sort of three teams that really were the class of the field are doing so again. Harlequins, the defending Aviva Premiership champions. Very impressive so far this season. A 41-point haul, including beating London Irish in Big Game 5, which I was at in front of 82,500 at Twickenham last weekend, which was great. They're a point ahead of Saracens, who've been pretty impressive themselves this season. They've actually won as many games as Quins, lost one less and drawn one. But Quins have got marginally more bonus points at this stage of the campaign to have a narrow lead, and nestled just behind those two, as ever, Leicester Tigers. You can never write them off. Not always at their fluent best this season. Defensively, not as sharp as they've been in years gone by, but still, they always find their form at the right time. Very impressive strength in depth, and those three again have just nudged a little bit away from the rest.
And in terms of the other end of the table, who Sale struggling badly, who else do you think contenders to possibly go down?
Well, it's very interesting because for a while, Sale were in an absolutely dire run, and they finally got a victory last weekend against the Worcester Warriors. We'll come on to Sale and their game against Saracens in just a moment, but the other two, Kev, London Welsh, newly promoted, had a very good kind of mid-part to the end of 2012, but have just lost their way a little bit and are being sucked back into the relegation battle. But bottom two, Sale 1 point behind London Irish. You've had a desperately disappointing campaign so far under Brian Smith. Huge changes in personnel in terms of the players. Massive alterations in the coaching staff as well. They let Sean Edwards go during the week. He's concentrating only now on his defensive duties with Wales. Whether that's an upheaval or actually will focus and give them a bit more kind of a better structure to the coaching staff, I don't know. But Irish in dire trouble, as I say. A tough showdown away at Gloucester this weekend. Let's hear the thoughts of the Exiles director of rugby, Brian Smith, who's confident his team will not go down.
We're no different from anyone else. I mean, Sale are a very good squad. You know, London Welsh, I wouldn't count them out of the dogfight either. They've done very well, but it's a very, very tough competition. We're a fair side. We're certainly not at our full strength. We're rebuilding this club and the team, and we're paying the price, and that price is a lot of disappointment. But we'll be better for it at the end of the day. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and we're certainly not going to die.
So that is the London Irish director of rugby, Brian Smith, Kev. We mentioned Sale as well. They've got that win under their belts, but that's got to be the start of a big, impressive run for them, surely, if they're going to dig themselves out of trouble. Big name stars like Danny Cipriani, Richie Gray did perform last weekend. Again, big changes there in terms of coaching staff as well. A team I feel might just about get themselves out of trouble as well. They're away to Saracens, though. Second in the standings, as we mentioned, a very, very difficult match indeed. And the Saris head coach Mark McCall, well aware of just what a tough proposition the Sharks could be.
Although the club might be in crisis, they've got players who are very good and very able. They'll be very buoyed by the victory that they got against Worcester. They played really well. I'm sure they'll have a backs-to-the-wall mentality coming to us, and we've got to make sure that we prepare well, we get our nuts and bolts right, and we give a performance which they can't handle.
That's the other match I'm going to be at this weekend. I think it should be a cracker. Mark Cueto is dead level with his former teammate Steve Hanley for the record of premiership tries in history. Both have got 75, so if Cueto could get one during that match, he'd be the new Aviva Premiership record holder for tries, which would be a great thing potentially to witness. Harlequins up against London Welsh this weekend. Northampton up against Exeter. That should be a cracking showdown as well. And London Wasps, who are right up to fifth in the standings, play Bath.
Comprehensive as ever from Russ on the Aviva Premiership. Nice to focus on that competition for once. And finally this week, we'll hear from the England cricket captain, Alistair Cook. He's been speaking to the media ahead of next week's first one day in India. Of course, Cook recently led the Test side to their first series win in India since the mid-80s.
Every time you start a tour, you know, it's obviously a huge challenge. You know, when I sat here, I think 2.5 months ago, saying to win the Test series in India would be an amazing achievement. So to do that was a great effort for the whole squad and the whole team. But again, as sport moves on, as it always does very quickly, you know, you're always looking on to the next challenge, and you know, India in their backyard in one day cricket again is another huge challenge for us as a side. And as you quite rightly said, we lost there 5-0 last time, so it'd be a really good measure of us as a side to see how we've improved. And I think again, we've got a squad that is capable of doing something very special.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. Hope you've enjoyed it. From myself, Kevin Hatchard, Russell Hargreaves and Lee Peters, it's goodbye for now.
Cheers.